Well, I'm really excited. I know that God has got great things in store for us this year. You know, that we always look back, don't we, at the previous year and kind of think about what happened. And it's even more exciting to look ahead, isn't it? And think, wow, God has got some great things in store. There's a really nice verse, and I'm not going to go there, but it's in Proverbs 31. And he's talking about the virtuous woman. And it says, the virtuous woman looks at the future and smiles. And I believe she looks ahead and smiles because she knows that God is going to be with her. She knows that her bridegroom is going to be there and that he's a faithful bridegroom. He will never leave her or desert her. And so she looks ahead and she smiles. And we can look ahead. You know, there's lots of unknowns, isn't there? We have lots of unknowns. You know, our health, our job situations, lots of things can happen. But we know one thing for sure, that whatever happens, that we will never be alone. Amen? Do you believe that? That God will always be with us. I mean, many, many places in Joshua 1:9, in Hebrews, he says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And in fact, we kind of water it down. In our American English, we really water it down. If you look at the Greek there, now I don't read Greek, I'm no scholar, I just know how to use a book. But it says that the no is actually a double no. No, no, never. I will no, no, never let you down. I will no, no, never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? So as we look at the year coming, we can know that whatever happens, that God says, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. I think that's tremendous. Isn't that encouraging? And who is the God that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Is it just some wooden idol that we worship or we bring food to once in a while? This is the God of the universe who made everything we can see. He says, listen, I'm the God of the universe. I made everything. I sustain everything. And that's the God that will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? That's the God that we're talking about. We're talking about some God who's got a few challenges along the way. God is absolutely God with no rivals. Now, we can get scared of the enemy at times, but you know, the enemy is completely under God's authority. Right? The enemy is completely under God's authority. He was before the cross, and he was after the cross. Even more so after the cross. Because Jesus paid for our sins, and now he can't pin our sins upon us anymore. He was powerless before the cross, and he's even more powerless now. It says in Hebrews 2:14 that Jesus rendered him powerless. Amen. I hope you believe that. So as we approach the coming year, yes, we know we have an enemy who will buffet us, who will attack us. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Malachi 3, verse 12, it says that he's a devourer. But God is sovereign, God Almighty. Amen. And whatever Satan throws at us, Ephesians 6 says that fiery darts can come, lift up the shield of faith, and it will consume all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Not just some of them, but as we lift up the shield of faith and say, God, we believe in you. Lord, we believe that this year is in your hands. We believe that you're going to do great things this year. And all those negative voices, Satan firing darts at us, saying, oh, you're no good, you're a failure, it's going to be the same as last year. Say, no. We lift up the shield of faith and say, no, God, we believe that this is our destiny to be different. That you've started a work in us. You are the Alpha and you're also the Omega. Right? God is the author and the finisher of our faith. We didn't have a lot to do with it, did we? We scrunched up our faith and said, oh, I believe in you, God. No, God gave us faith. It's a gift. I was reading this morning, actually yesterday in James 1, it says, by the will of God, by the will of God, you were made new. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So even our salvation, we just have to rest and trust that God has done what He said He would do. Save us. Amen? Oh, I didn't get very far in my talk here, did I? Together on a mission. And this really excites me, that God has called us on a mission. And He called me from a long way away, and He called Manjit. You know, we're from thousands of miles away. He called Mike and Bonnie from Canby. Where did He call you from? Maybe it's just down the road. It doesn't really matter, does it? We're all called on a mission. Every one of us. Every one of us. It's not just Tom's thing. It's not just about, me or what I'm doing. It's not just about, you know, this ministry or that ministry. We're all called on a mission. When Jesus says, go into all the world, he didn't leave out anybody, did he? His great command. And so the church is on a mission. Not just to fill the pews or the seats, not just to exist, not just to pay our bills, but not just to grow even, but our mission is to glorify God. Amen. To lift up the name of Jesus. This verse, my friend Russ, who I know that many of you know, we were praying together and he prophesied this over me. He said, I don't know where this verse comes from, but I really feel that it's significant for you. And I had no idea where it was from. I didn't even know it was a Bible verse, because sometimes Russ has these kind of these far out words that you think, wow, how can that be in the Bible? So, I not that it's unscriptural, but just he said, I think this is somewhere in the Bible. But it's something about getting a vision and writing it down and then giving it out so people can run with a vision. And I was just finishing up my annual Bible reading. I was in the Minor Prophets. And I read this one morning and it just like, whoa, it jumped off the page. Because it's right here in Habakkuk 2:2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Write the vision, make it plain, so that he may run who reads it. And that's what I think the Lord is calling Tom and I to do this morning, is to just in a fresh way, as we have a new year, is just to say, look, this is where we're headed. This is what God has put on our hearts as the elders of the church and supported by you and your prayers. This is what the Lord's laid in our hearts. And it's nothing new. It's nothing complicated. It's nothing unscriptural. It's a wonderful thing that God's saying, come on, let's get together on a mission. Let's go and preach the gospel. Let's go and see the lost get saved. Let's go and see Jesus change the world around us. And that's what God's been doing, hasn't it? I mean, I've been here for nearly 20 years. Some of you have been here for nearly 100 years. Right, Dave? But we've seen it, haven't we, over the years. I mean, you know, when we came, we were meeting in the shed, you know, the old building. Sorry, that just slipped out. Sorry. We're meeting in the wonderful old building. Honestly, that just slipped out. And then, you know, God called us here and we labored, you know, and we sweated together and we thought, how on earth are we going to do this? And sometimes we got a little bit mad at each other and we rubbed shoulders and iron sharpened iron and we worked together and God, you know, gave us this building. What a gift. You know, not that it would look nice all the time and just would be a polishing brass thing that we could polish up, but we could keep it nice and use it for God's kingdom to glorify Him right here in Miniota. I think that's wonderful. I mean, often I come in here in the mornings and think, wow, this is amazing. It's just a gift. The Lord's saying, how are we going to spend it? How are you going to use this great gift I've given you? And so that's part of the vision too. And I think Tom's going to kind of talk a little bit about that. But I want to just quickly go through these three things. There's three things in this verse. The first thing is write the vision. And the second thing is to make it plain. And the third thing is that those people who read it, we want you to run with it. We don't want to be like, you know, sometimes you get the picture where, you know, some churches have this pastor that does everything. And that poor guy, he's dragging, you know, he's running and there's like 10 ropes behind him. There's this ministry, that ministry, the other ministry. And that's not what the church is like, is it? The church is, it's a body. We're a family. And there shouldn't be one or two people doing all the work. But everybody's pulling together. Everybody's on the mission together, doing what God has called us to do. So the third thing is that he may run who reads it. Now, I've got to really crack on here because I have a tendency to waffle and I want to be very succinct. Okay, firstly. All right, here we go. Firstly, write the vision. Let's go to Colossians 3. We're just going to read through. These are massive, massive verses that we could spend hours and hours on. I'm just going to pick out a few little things that I think God is saying this morning that I believe that God laid in my heart. We're going to jump in at the end of verse 16 where it says, All things have been created. So if you grab your Bibles and find chapter 1 of Colossians, did I say chapter 3? Chapter 1, we're going to jump in at 16b. I think I wrote 3, didn't I? Yeah, it was early this morning, it's chapter 1. I hadn't had my coffee by that time, it was pretty early. Okay, so sorry, it's chapter 1, verse 16b. All things have been created by Him and for Him. Isn't that wonderful? We were made by Him and we were made for Him. Not for ourselves, but for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. Let's keep going. He is the head of the body, the church. So the Lord is the head of this assembly. He's the head of Bethel Fellowship Church. It's His church and He's in control. He is the beginning. He began this church. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the first man who was raised by the power of God, the resurrection power of God from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have the first place in everything. So the first thing, and this is a broad thing, is that Jesus would take the preeminence in everything that we do. This is our vision, that Jesus would take the first place in Bethel Fellowship Church. He's the head of this church. It's His bride. Sometimes, like Uzziah, remember the story when King David was bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and the cart kind of wobbled a bit and stumbled, and Uzziah put out his hand to try and steady the ark. You know, lots of people try and put out their hand to steady the church. It's God's church. He takes care of it. He's the head of the church. This is His bride, His body, and He's the head of it, so that He Himself might come to have the first place in everything. And just to break that down, you know, the church is made up of families, isn't it? We need to really make the Lord Jesus the head of our families. And families are made up of people. And as individuals, we need to say, Lord, can You be the head of my life? Can You take preeminence in my life? It might mean that we talk a little less. It might mean that we watch TV a little less. It might mean that we neglect our favorite teams that care so much about us. Right? It might mean that we don't go on Facebook as much. But Jesus is saying, I want to be first place in your life. We can't expect Jesus to be first place in the church unless in our own lives, day by day, we're getting before the Lord and saying, Jesus, can You take the first place in my life? Amen. Can You be Lord of my life? And my home. What goes on in your homes? What goes on in my home? What goes on in our families? What are we teaching our children? Are we teaching them that Jesus is the first place, the first priority? Or are we teaching them other things? So the first thing is to write the vision and say, God, we want You to have the first place in everything that we do. So it's the Valentine's banquet. Lord, have the first place. If it's Thanksgiving banquet, have the first place. If it's sending somebody off on mission, Jesus, have the first place. Amen. Second thing is that, there we go. As you can see, I don't entirely trust this thing. The second thing is that Colossians 19:22. Let's read this through. How can we make this? How can we make it? For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him, verse 20, to reconcile all things to Himself. He made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet now He has reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Right? God's saying, listen, this is the gospel. If you repent and turn away from your sin, if you believe in what Jesus has done on the cross, that He will reconcile you. It's like two enemies. Two enemies. God's saying, I can make those two enemies friends. This is how we can make it plain, by living lives that are firmly rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of grace, that God has died for us. He shed His blood for us. And we're called with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was for us before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. So we live lives that are thoroughly gospel-centered. Grace, grace, grace. Amen. So we make it plain. The third thing is that we need to run. Now, there are lots of different scriptures I could go to. We'll just read 23. It kind of fits in with this. If indeed you continue in faith, firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You know that Satan, our enemy, wants to move us away from the hope of the gospel. Right? He wants to move us away to works. Oh, I've got to work really hard. He wants to move us away to unbelief. God, are you really able to do that for me? He wants to move us away from the hope of the gospel, that Jesus Christ has done it all. Hallelujah. That we are saved, not through our works, but through grace. And this is how we run. It's not by pulling up our bootstraps and trying a little bit harder. But God has done the work. And yes, we have to co-labor with Him. We have to do our part. But trust Him that God has done all that we need. And I just want to read one quick scripture. In fact, we probably don't need to go there. But it's in Zechariah. And it's that very famous verse. We sang it a lot last week. We sang it, didn't we? No, not by might, nor by strength, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And this is how we run. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. So living Spirit-filled lives, glorifying God, passionate about His godliness, reaching out, extending the hand of love to those around us. So these are the three things that the Lord kind of gave me. Right division, Christ exalting in everything, reconciling and reconciled, and Spirit-empowered runners. And it kind of reminded me of something. As I prepared this sermon, it kind of reminded me of something that we all know. Isn't it amazing how God weaves in His truth here? We exist by the grace of God, for the glory of God, to promote passionate godliness within its members, to extend the love of Christ to those in its reach through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.